Everybody knows where we are, right? You ever seen such an old tree? Actually, you haven't. Because according to the Puranas, this tree doesn't just go from Dwarpa Yuga when Krishna was present. Further back in Treta Yuga and Satya Yuga, this is a very special Kadamba tree, besides the Kadamba tree that Krishna personally jumped from in the Kaliya Dhamana Leela. Before I forget, I'll mention something that I probably will forget if I don't mention it now. Behind this structure, going back maybe 10 yards that way, there's a little narrow corridor and there's too many of us to go there, but it's the samadhi of Prabodhananda Saraswati. When later today we'll go to the Radharaman temple and we'll hear about the life of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, one of the six Goswamis, is Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Gopal Bhatta Goswami had personal association with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was just a small boy, maybe about Krishna Kirtan's age. Would you like to have the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? That was a shy yes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent 4 months of the rainy season at the home of Venkata Bhatta. And Venkata Bhatta had a brother who was a sannyasi in the Sri Sampradaya. Just as Gopal Bhatta became totally enthused by Lord Chaitanya's association, so did Venkata Bhatta's brother. As did Venkata Bhatta and his wife. So Prabodhananda Saraswati came here to Vrindavan and made his residence right at Kaliya Ghat. And he wrote many fantastic verses in glorification of Lord Chaitanya and in glorification of Krishna. Wonderful scholarly Vaishnav, beautiful poetic, like amazing writings. And his samadhi, Bhajan Kutir and Samadhi are right behind. So a little bit of the background behind the age of this tree. In Satya Yuga, very, very early in the dawn of creation, Garuda visited Vrindavan. And when Garuda visited Vrindavan, he's the carrier of Lord Vishnu, so why would he not want to come to Vrindavan, the abode of Krishna? Even before Krishna appeared, this is a sacred place. So he came to the very place where we are, amongst the other places he visited in Vrindavan. And the Jamuna, as you can tell by the architecture here, the Jamuna used to flow right by the Parikrama Marg. Now the Jamuna has shifted, but then the Jamuna was right by here. And there was a lake like, you know, an indentation in the river where it was very peaceful and quiet. And Garuda was hungry, so he went to catch some fish. And when he went to catch some fish, there was a yogi who was meditating underneath the water in the lake at that river Jamuna, and his name was Sobri Muni. And Sobri Muni ordered Garuda, don't take fish from this sacred river. But Garuda didn't stop because Sobri Muni said, and he took the fish. So Sobri Muni cursed Garuda. You don't come back here, or you will instantly die. I mean, how can a Muni curse Garuda something like that? You can't. Because Garuda isn't subject to some Muni's curse. But he accepted. Because he knew that this is part of Krishna's plan somehow in his pastimes. And it was part of Krishna's plan in his pastimes. So while he was here, Garuda placed some nectar on the root of the tree, the Kadamba tree, so that this very Kadamba tree in Satyuga would still be alive for Krishna to use in his Leela during Dwarpa Yuga. And so it's very old tree, but it's at least it is said this is the original Kadamba tree that Krishna climbed up and jumped into the Kaliya lake. So we'll come back to the Kadamba tree in a moment. We'll go back to the Satya Yuga. And what is the process of achieving spiritual perfection in Satya Yuga? Meditation. So there was a sage named Vedashira who was engaged in meditation in some mountainous area, secluded, very, very beautiful, serene, tranquil mountain. And in the Vindhya Hills. And one other sage named Ashvashira was traveling about and saw this beautiful mountain and saw that there was a hermitage on top of the mountain, and he ascended the mountain and introduced himself. My name is Ashvashira, and I see this is such a beautiful place for meditation. May I also join you in meditation? Set up a little cottage somewhere here in this nice forested area. Vedashira was a very envious Muni. They don't go well together. Being a Muni and being envious don't mix. So he said, I'm sorry, but this mountain is not big enough for both of us. You're going to have to find another mountain. And Ashvashira said, why are you speaking like this? You're a Muni, you're a great sage. You know that everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nothing belongs to any one of us. Why are you speaking this way? And Vedashira just repeated himself, I'm sorry, but this mountain is not big enough for both of us. You're going to have to go somewhere else. He didn't budge from his position. He was very stubborn as well as envious. Vedashira said, you don't deserve to be a Muni or even in the human form of life. I curse you that you take birth as an envious snake. And Vedashira said, very well, then I curse you. You become a crow. Don't mess with Munis. And why would a Muni lose it like that? You know, like, might expect somebody on the street saying, oh yeah, oh yeah. Something like that. But not a Muni. So behind the curse of such utterances, there's a benediction. The benediction for the crow, this was in Satya Yuga, this was the crow that later went to Puri and by just dipping into the water by Nila Madhav's kund, he ascended into the spiritual sky in his forearm by Kuntha form and was liberated. A crow became liberated by the curse of Vedashira. But Vedashira became a snake. But he was also to become delivered by the personality of Godhead in this very Leela. So I'll describe how that happened. Vedashira, in the Mahabharata, it describes different wives of Daksha, daughters of Daksha. There was the 10,000 sons and the 1,000 sons that Narada brought into his brahmacharya ashram. And following the Haryashvas and Sabalashvas, this is in the 6th canto, Bhagavatam, he decided no more sons, just daughters. So he had so many daughters. And some of those daughters were given to different sages. And Kasyapa received a number of the daughters of Daksha, and one of the eldest of those daughters was Kayadu. And Kayadu and Kasyapa produced Praja, many different species of life, and some of those species of life included the serpents. So, sons of Kayadu and Kasyapa became serpents. Of course, amongst those serpents were the very, very elevated Anantashesh. But also, Kaliya was amongst a number of those serpents, and they took up their residence at the Ramanaka Lake. Ramanaka Lake is thought to be somewhere in the area of Fiji, because at one time there wasn't like so many different countries, it was one tract of land under one rule. So they resided in Ramanaka Lake. And along with fish as a natural food for birds, especially Garuda, snakes are also a natural food for birds. So Garuda, knowing that at the Ramanaka Lake there's so many snakes, he would go when he was hungry and take some food. So the residents of Ramanaka Lake made a deal with Garuda. The deal was, just come once a month and we'll make a sacrifice unto you. Some very nice offerings, and be satisfied with that. So, okay, very well. That's a very nice arrangement. And once a month he would come, and the serpents would take turns making the offerings. But the enviousness of Vedashira didn't go away when he became a serpent. It stayed. He was still very envious, and he didn't like the idea that Garuda would take all these offerings. Why not me? So when it was time for one of the offerings, he personally went and ate all the offerings intended for Garuda. So envious. Garudaji wasn't very happy with this. He began to pursue Kaliya with his sharp talons and his beak. And Kaliya was very afraid. He went here, he went there, and everywhere he went, Gruda pursued him. Finally, Kaliya went to his older brother, Anantashesh. What to do? What should I do? Shouldn't be so envious. That's what you should do. But now that this life-threatening situation is there, there's one place if you go, no one will bother you. Gruda will not bother you. Go to the lake by the river Jamuna, where Shobari Muni cursed Gruda to not go there, or he would die. If you go there, you're safe. Very good, very good. So Kasyapa, excuse me, Kaliya came to the lake, and he made that his home. Ramanaka Lake, Jamuna's even better. He didn't come for pilgrimage like we have. He came to save his life because he was confident Garuda wouldn't come. And in the course of Satya Yuga and Treta Yuga and Dwarpa Yuga, this lake became very, very poisonous because along with his envy was poison. The lake was so bad that all the vegetation within some distance surrounding the lake all died just from the fumes from the lake. The Bhagavatam describes that as birds would fly over the lake, the fumes coming off the lake was so toxic, they would die and fall into the lake dead. Very, very poisonous. And this was at the time of Lord Krishna. So one day, he mentioned at the Dauji Mandir, there's some pastimes of Krishna where Balaram stayed home. He wasn't there to protect Krishna. This was one of those days. Balaram stayed home. So, early in the morning, without the serenade of amplified music like this, the cowherd boys set off to herd the cows, as they did every day. But something very special happened that day. The cowherd boys, right at the very beginning of the morning, became overwhelmed with thirst. You know how long it took for our buses and taxis to get from Varsana back to the Krishna Balaram temple. Somehow the cowherd boys were able to move very swiftly. Someone was asking this yesterday. How did they cover these distances? We have taxis and cars. They had just bullock cart and travel by feet. Prabhupada gave this answer once when that question was asked, that Vrindavan is shaped like a lotus. And as we know, sometime during the bright midday, the lotus is wide open. But sometime at night, the lotus closes. That was Prabhupada's answer. So when the lotus is open, to travel from point A to point B may take X amount of time. But when it's closed, it's easy to go from point A to point B. That was Prabhupada's answer. And besides the fact that Krishna has control of inconceivable, unlimited spiritual potency, he can do whatever he likes just like that. Effortless. He can be from just like he... So many examples. He can travel, he can, by calling Krishna's name, Krishna's present at once. Like when Draupadi, hey Krishna, hey Govinda, She was in Hastinapur. Krishna was in Dwarka. At once, Krishna was present. Just like that. Krishna doesn't need, speedometer. It's, hey, pull over, you're breaking the speed limit. Because Krishna is everywhere. He's everywhere present as Paramatma, but he's also in the hearts of his pure devotees. And Krishna can manifest himself however he likes without anybody checking him. His time energy and space energy are completely at his disposal. In the spiritual world, it is described this way, time is conspicuous by its absence. So how long does it take for Krishna to get to Nandagram, to Kaliya Ghat? No time at all. He just has to desire to go to Kaliya Ghat and he's there. There's no restriction for him. Because he has unlimited inconceivable potencies. Say it the other way. If it was not so, if Krishna did not have unlimited and inconceivable potency, then he wouldn't be God. This is Jiva Goswami's teaching. God must have unlimited, inconceivable. It's inconceivable. We couldn't do it. We couldn't get from Nandagram to here in no time. But Krishna can do it. For Krishna, it's nothing. He can come to Kaliya Ghat and back in no time. He can go back 10 times in no time. No problem for Krishna. Because he just simply extends his inconceivable potencies at his will. Materially, he can create unlimited universes. By his glance, Lord Ram can boil an ocean. Who can boil an ocean? Who can boil a pot of water? In moments. No technology can do that, but Krishna can do that. Krishna can do whatever he likes. So Krishna arranged that Balaram would stay home, and the cowherd boys became uncontrollably thirsty. And so they came right here to the river Jamuna and drank water from the river Jamuna. And as they drank water from the river Jamuna, it was intensely poisonous. And they instantly fell to the ground. Sometimes it says, as if dead. And sometimes it says, dead. And Krishna was coming very slowly along with the cows. And when he came to the scene, with all the dead foliage and trees, and the dead cowherd boys, the cowherd boys are his life and soul, and the calves also. They also drank. And they were on the ground dead. The cows and the cowherd boys, dead. Krishna became bewildered. Now how is it possible for Krishna to become bewildered? He's omniscient. He can travel from Nandagram to here in no time at all. How can he become bewildered? And the answer is, by his own will, he can do anything, including become bewildered. That is to say, his own yogamaya energy influenced him for a moment to become overwhelmed with the affection of love for his cowherd boyfriends and the cows. But in the very next moment, he knew exactly what to do. He simply glanced at them. And by glancing at them, they all came back to life. They didn't know that they had just died or seemingly gone out of conscious state. They just carried on like nothing happened. But Krishna understood exactly what happened. It was the influence of the envious serpent, Kaliya. So Krishna decided he would teach Kaliya a lesson. he tightened his belt, climbed up this Kadamba tree, went out on a branch, and jumped from the branch of the Kadamba tree, making a big splash into the river Jamuna. And when Krishna landed in the river Jamuna, it wasn't like those little boys that were playing at Prem Sarovar and jumping off the extension into the Sarovar. Because Krishna is as heavy as the entire creation. So when he landed in the lake, huge waves went in all directions, way up onto the shore. And a big sound. Krishna was having fun. But Kaliya didn't like that at all. Kaliya is Mr. Envy personified. Who has come into my lake? And he immediately came to the surface of the water to find out who dared come into my territory. He saw a little boy swimming around in his lake. So immediately came and tried to bite him with his poisonous fangs. And Krishna was very quick. He couldn't catch Krishna. He had 1,000 hoods, if I remember the number correctly. 100 very prominent hoods. And with those hoods, he grabbed hold of Krishna and coiled himself around Krishna. And Krishna was captured by Kaliya. This is a very special leela. Unique amongst the leelas in this way. Most of the leelas, the cowherd boys or Nanda Maharaj or the residents of Vrindavan are in difficulty and Krishna saves them. Well, what are they going to do when Krishna's in difficulty? They can't call to Krishna. Krishna, please help us. Because Krishna's in difficulty. They couldn't stand it. Krishna's in difficulty. What are we going to do? And they knew they couldn't go into the lake because it was poisonous. They would immediately die. They couldn't go and try to help Krishna. They were in incredible distress. So one observer of this whole leela, as Krishna was in the coils of Kaliya, went quickly. Again, Krishna's special potency was invested in him so he could go quickly to Nandagram and told Nanda Maharaj, Mother Jasoda, Krishna's in difficulty. This terrible, poisonous, venomous, cruel, mean, huge, thousand-hooded serpent has Krishna caught in his coils. Nanda Maharaj, do something. So you heard what Nanda Maharaj's response was? He looked at the messenger, looked at Mother Jasoda and said, don't worry. With these powerful arms, I will subdue that Kaliya. Don't worry. You just stay here. And Mother Jasoda said, I can't stay here. Krishna's in difficulty. I must go too. And Balaram was just watching the fun, thinking, Krishna's not in difficulty. He's just playing. Krishna has a wonderful sense of humor. He knows how to enjoy like nobody knows how to enjoy. So he went along to Balaram, Nanda Maharaj, Mother Jasoda, and they came scurrying from Nandagram all the way here to Kaliya Ghat. And when they saw what the cowherd boys had been seeing, for hours Krishna was in the coils of the Kaliya serpent. They were beside themselves with great anxiety. Balaram had to personally check Nanda Maharaj from jumping into the lake because he would have died at once. But Balaram is very strong. Even he could subdue his father. And the elder gopis checked Mother Jasoda. And when Krishna saw the intense concert of anxiety of everyone, because all the residents of Vrindavan by this time had heard this terrible news and they came. You know how terrible news is. It spreads fast. So Krishna decided, all right, enough of this. I'll get myself released from the Kaliya serpent. So what did Krishna do? He started expanding his body. Because Krishna has mystic powers, his body became bigger and bigger and bigger. Just like the Trinavarta demon, he became heavier and heavier and heavier. He became bigger and bigger, so the coils were slipping and he was expanding his coils and trying to capture Krishna, but suddenly Krishna became very small. Immediately, whoop, he was out of the grip of a Kaliya serpent. And he jumped back into the water. And he started swimming in a circle. And Kaliya was trying to capture Krishna and capture Krishna. But Krishna was swimming so fast. In time, Kaliya became dizzy. He lost his balance. And then, in that moment, Krishna jumped up on the hoods of the Kaliya serpent and began dancing. Just as we see. He's the best of everything, including the best of dancers. We won't name names of people who thought that they were very good dancers. Krishna is the best of dancers. Of course, Radharani taught him everything. Radharani taught him how to play flute. Radharani taught him how to dance. Radharani taught him everything. But he's the best of dancers. And he was dancing, dancing, dancing. And as he was dancing, the dance was so nice that the demigods came to see the dance. They began playing their musical instruments to accompany his dance, which made Krishna enlivened all the more to dance even more elegantly. And it's said that on these hoods of the Kaliya serpent were jewels that were red in color and were glowing. And what's the color of the bottom of Krishna's feet? Reddish color. The reddish light on the reddish soles of Krishna's feet. Ooh, what a dancing stage. Very attractive. And Krishna elegantly dancing, dancing, dancing. The demigods praising Krishna, what a dancer. And the residents of Vrindavan thinking, oh, Krishna, stop this, please come. Get out of that situation. We can't bear it. One of Krishna's qualities that we read in Nectar of Devotion, how many qualities does it have for Krishna? 64 qualities. One of them is Krishna's expert, daksha. So, as an expert person, when he's accomplishing one thing, he's simultaneously accomplishing multiple things. So Krishna, while he was dancing very elegantly upon the head of Kaliya, it felt like the universe was smashing on his head. But his envy was so strong that he would reach his head up and try to bite Krishna, and each head that reached up to try to bite Krishna, Krishna would jump on his head and smash his head. And then another head and smash his head, and another head and it went on and on and on, because the envy of Kaliya was so intense. Some people are like that. You know, getting smashed by Krishna isn't enough. They got to get smashed and smashed and smashed. We know from the story of the serpent that was swallowing Nanda Maharaj. You know that story, right? At night, the cowherd boys and the cowherd men had taken rest, and one giant python serpent started swallowing Nanda Maharaj. You know that story? So what happened? They took sticks that were burning from the fire and started trying to burn the serpent to make him let go of Nanda Maharaj. He wouldn't let go. He kept swallowing little by little as a python, little by little. Then they started bashing him and jumping on him and hitting him and beating him, and the serpent just kept swallowing Nanda Maharaj. So what did they do? Krishna! Please help! So Krishna came at once. Just one delicate little touch of Krishna's feet, and this giant serpent immediately transformed into a Gandharva. Just once, Krishna's foot. Just once. Not Kaliya. Krishna was smashing and smashing and smashing. Kaliya was so envious. Envy is a very dangerous quality. Krishna doesn't like envy in the hearts of his devotees, certainly. Not in the hearts of Kaliya either. But he showed special mercy to Kaliya. By the time Krishna was finished dancing, blood and all the venom and all the envy came out of his body. And he finally became purified to the point of recognizing who it was that was dancing on his hoods. It was Krishna. Fortunate for Kaliya, the wives of Kaliya were not like Kaliya. They weren't at all envious. They were very wonderful devotees. So they came before Krishna in the lake. Excuse me. Yeah, they came before Krishna in the lake with their palms folded. I guess they had snake bodies, but somehow also had palms. They folded their palms before Krishna. And they offered beautiful prayers. One of the first things they did was they had their little snake children go before Krishna, because when little children are there, even somebody that's angry, more likely they'll become calm. Krishna became very peaceful. And they offered beautiful, beautiful prayers. Amazing prayers, recognizing exactly who Krishna was, recognizing that the nature of the mercy that Kaliya had received is not to be found even in the goddess of fortune to place the lotus feet of Krishna upon her head. But what to speak of on Kaliya's head? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times Krishna placed his lotus feet upon Kaliya's head. What mercy! How merciful is Krishna? This was their appreciation. Please forgive him for all of his behavior that's coming out of his envious quality. And so, being moved by the prayers of the wives of the Kaliya serpent, Krishna forgave Kaliya. And then Kaliya somehow managed to get his faculties together enough to also offer prayers. And his prayers are very similar to the wives of the Kaliya serpent. They then, together, Kaliya and his wives, they worshipped Krishna. They offered him fine jewels, ornaments, a beautiful garland, and many, many gifts and many praises, and they worshipped him. And then Krishna gave an instruction. Krishna said, "You're forgiven, but I don't want you to remain here. The residents of Vrindavan should not be in anxiety that if they come here, they'll again possibly have some difficulty. So you should go back to your ancestral home. Go back to Ramanaka Lake and be peaceful and continue in your devotion. Don't take up again these envious activities." So Kaliya and his wives circumambulated Krishna three times and swam away to Ramanaka Lake. Krishna came out of the lake. It had been the entire day. It was a wonderful pastime. One of the two principal pastimes of Krishna, where all the residents of Vrindavan simultaneously were able to experience the fullness of their loving relationship with Krishna. This, in this case, but very unique. So the Krishna's lifting of Govardhan Hill, all the residents of Braja were able to experience their relationship with Krishna for 7 days and nights. This lasted for a whole day. All the residents of Vrindavan were there, the grand crescendo of all their loving relationships, seeing at last Krishna's out of difficulty. Krishna was never in difficulty. He was enjoying. Krishna's never in difficulty. He was enjoying. So he came out of the lake, and immediately Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj rushed to the shore of the lake, embraced Krishna, hugged him very tightly. Krishna smiled. Balaram smiled. Nanda Maharaj was very happy. Mother Yashoda was very happy. All the cowherd boys and girls and cows were very happy. And Krishna ended the day here at the Kaliya Lake. Now, it's also said, when we're at the next place we're going, pay attention in case you get separated. We're going to the Madan Mohan Temple. It's that way. There's a very tall hill. And it is said that Krishna went to that tall hill to catch some sun, because he had been in the cold water all day long. So the hill is called Dvadasya Aditya Tila. The rays of the sun became tenfold to warm up Krishna's body, because it had become cold. Some service for the sun, to serve Krishna. So as Krishna went there next, we'll go there next, and hear the wonderful pastimes of Sanatan Goswami and Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan. These renovations are new. It's supposed to be, you know, beautification. I have a different opinion. The natural beauty is being covered over. But one can only imagine, at the time of Krishna's presence, what this beautiful scene must have been like. Very, very tall kadamba tree. Nice ghat, Kaliya Lake, forests in all directions. The next leela that took place was one of the forest fires of Vrindavan. That night, because it had taken the whole day, Krishna made a suggestion. Krishna said to Nanda Maharaj, it's so far to go back to Nandagram. He came here so quickly, but he said, it's so far to go back to Nandagram. Let us spend the night here by the side of the river Jamuna. The river Jamuna is our life and soul. This is a wonderful opportunity. We'll just take shelter of the banks of the river Jamuna. So Nanda Maharaj said, very nice, we'll do that. That night there was a forest fire, which Krishna extinguished. You can read that in the Krishna book. Srila Prabhupada ki, Kaliya Krishna ki, Gaur Pimandi.